Louis Black is a Grammy Award-winning stand-up comedian, one of the most prolific and popular performers working today. He will be at the Troy Savings Bank Music Hall on Saturday night. His live performances are just, they sell out all over the place. He came into national prominence with his appearances on The Daily Show. He's written three books, eight comedy albums, and will be in Troy on Saturday night. Louis Black, how are you?
Just delightful. Every day is more delightful. We get closer and closer to really everything we wanted. I've never seen people happier. Everywhere I look, whatever side you're on, God, there are people who are just beaming.
Do you think you have a side? Do you know what side you're on?
Yeah, I'm in the middle. They have driven me with their nonsense into the middle. That's what they've done.
And
driven me in the middle, which is exhausting.
Yeah.
It's not a place I wanted to be. I'd never have had an interest in it. I'm tired of people telling me where they think I'm this or I'm that. I'm in the middle. All I'm asking is for these idiots to shut up and stop turning up, sit down and talk to each other and figure out, like, roads. Roads would be fun. Why don't we do roads for a while? So that when the people who are coming all over the wall because of the emergency will have roads that they can get to us quickly.
Now,
and kill us all.
For you in the middle, where did you start out, do you think?
I started out basically looking for my real hope was for planetary exploration and maybe colonization so I could get out of here. That was really where I started. My party was the Mars party. I started out with people go, you left or right. It was a lot of it was conservative, and a lot of it was stuff that was way left that I wanted to do in a conservative fashion. So it's not that tough. None of it was that tough. We just wasted a lot of money doing other stuff that we shouldn't have been doing.
It seems, I've heard it described this way, that it's not a matter of left or right. It's a matter of what is right and wrong. And with you, it seems like it's a matter of what's stupid and not stupid.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly it. Because people are always like, gee, what are you going to do now that Bush isn't the president? What are you going to do? I said, just because he left office doesn't mean that stupidity fled the United States. That's our. If stupidity were oil, we'd be the richest planet on Earth. I mean, the richest country on Earth.
when you say, as you did a moment ago, when they is they the politicians? Is they society? Is they culture?
It's the politicians. It's those who think that they're leaders and have no sense of what it's like to be an adult, and they really don't. And it's most of them. Most of them have no sense of what being a good adult is. They're terrible. I mean, a lot of them are just terrible at leadership. A lot of them don't even seem to think it matters what comes out of their mouths. I mean, it's kind of like, children are listening, you idiot. And when adults don't put that into consideration, adults outside of the political realm, and don't see the ramifications of when someone either in government, be it, in Congress, the Senate, the House of Representatives, the President, says something that's, off the charts, nuts, and offensive, that it has an effect. It has an effect on children. There are children out there. And as much as, most people still want to be children, you have to be adult, and you don't get, people would say, I wanted him to be president because he talks like I do. Well, that's the reason you're not the president, schmuck.
I have heard you say this, that you, even in your act, you don't like to use the name Trump. You don't even find that necessary.
No, everybody, it's repeated. If it's not repeated enough for you each day and I need to tell you who the president is, then, you need, I don't even know what to think of, maybe electroshock, because that's really. And my feeling is if I say his name, his ears perk up. It's just tiresome. It's what he wants, you know, and it's he wants to be talked about. And I really, and for the folks who are listening, realize that I talked about none of these presidents have interested me, nor have I thought that they were worth my time and energy. And I've said bad things about all of them. And this is the first time ever that the audience, and there are people I'm sure are listening who go, oh, God, I can't believe what he's saying about my president. Well, you know what? I've said it about all my presidents, all right? Everybody who had a my president, okay? And but that you're the first, this group is the first group that whines about it. I can't believe you said that about him. Well, I said it about the schmuck before him and the schmuck before him and the schmuck before him. So grow up.
But with that said, and you can certainly pull this off better than I can, but isn't he a different kind of schmuck?
Well, I mean, he's just not an adult. You know? I mean, that would be, that's a different. It makes being, that's part of the reason it's hard to do comedy in a certain way, because I'm supposed to be the child. Now I've got a president who's the child. Now I got to be the adult. Well, that doesn't work in terms of the comedy equation. I can't be going bad boy. That's not the gig.
But
also, you know, the other thing is here's a difference. He bankrupted a casino. Well, you can't call yourself a good businessman and bankrupt the casino. It's impossible. Unless you have the National Guard shooting gamblers trying to get into the casino.
I was interviewing a comedian recently, and I don't remember who, unfortunately, but it was someone, and they said to me, well, look, you know, the rap is that it's impossible to kind of beat the headlines. And I've heard this many, many times. Having seen you work, though, you do that just fine. That didn't seem to be a challenge for you.
No. No, it was no, because the challenge was the fact that many of the news services were reading his tweets, not the policy ones, but the one where he was talking to his base, and those are the tweets I get to read. You don't get to read those tweets, not the ones that show his pathology. That's my job. I'm the one, you know, the one that when he says he's really, 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 really good leader kind of tweets, I get to do that. You don't get to read that stuff, you idiots.
Now, and that allows you to be the adult.
Yes.
And to, in a way, say bad boy.
In a way,
yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, but also in a way I've done it with all of them. Every one of them, because it would be like, you know, when they started calling it Obamacare, I said, really? Obamacare? It's not Obamacare. It was never. It was the Affordable Care Act. For them to to be referred to as Obamacare, you know, it wasn't even his idea. It's way back that idea came to be, and much of it came from a lot of other ideas. You can't call it Obamacare because he's not that smart.
Louis Black is our guest. He's going to be at the Troy Savings Music Hall on Saturday night. So when you look at the your audience, I would assume it is still a left of center audience that supports you and comes out.
It's people who kind of get that that leadership is and authority is something that you make fun of. So I get a lot of people who are conservative. Now, the ones who really, the ones I lost were the ones who really, you know, felt that Trump was a gift from God somehow.
Yeah.
And that's the difference. And the rest is not, you know. The rest is this, the, you know, the, you know, I just read a thing from somebody that was, you know, I'm very, very conservative, but, you know, I love coming to your shows because basically I go after both sides.
Sure you do.
And I'm really trying to maintain the fact that it really is, just trying to, you know, remind people that we, if we're not going to have adults in the room, we've got to be the adults in the room.
With that said, is there, do you get a reaction in if you go after Trump, if you say something, if you talk just maybe in the manner of how we have been for the last 10 minutes, are there people who ever get vocal in the audience and
they
say something?
On occasion, they do, but less than they have, because I think now they kind of, those folks who were my fans stay away. Now, because they kind of adore him on a level that's creepy. It's really creepy, because even the others, you know, nobody's adored these people on that level. Where I'd never had blowback about a president ever, even Reagan, who they adored, you know, who if they could put him on Mount Rushmore, they would. I never had blowback.
So why do you...
Why? I have no idea.
Yeah.
Because
it's creepy.
I don't get it. I mean, because they're babies. I have no idea. It's unbelievable. I guess because they never had somebody that they really, really liked. And what they didn't realize, I think, and what they're going to find out as things roll along, is, all these people elected people that they really, really liked, and in the end, those people they really, really liked screwed them on one level or another. So good luck. We can't wait for that to happen. What are you going to do then, crybaby? I mean, because it's unbelievable. It's just exhaustingly unbelievable is what it is. And I'm not really happy about it.
You've been doing this for a long time. You've been going out. You've been selling out places. People enjoy you, though. You have a longevity in this business that is really, I wouldn't say extremely rare, but it's rare to have someone to bridge as many years as you have, and to keep an audience and to keep a very demographically alive audience.
Mm-hmm. I try to keep them alive. Some show up on, show up on gurneys, but, you know, we see what we can do for them.
Sure.
I'm trying, and more, and folks should check on it, I'm not sure if it works for Troy or not, but we do try to do, tickets for kids who are going to college or under the age of like 25, and do a lower price ticket for them in the balcony and stuff, because it's silly not to. And I've been trying to do that for years in order to maintain, a communication with them, because I think they really are they're important. They're really important.
You also you will do rants in towns that are often fueled by what comes in from the citizenry of that particular place.
Every place I go, I mean, so when I show up in Troy, if the folks there want, they can go to my website and find out pretty easily how to send in a rant. If something really bothers them, something about the state, something about the city, something about the United States, anything. Let's say they love, they love the president. They want to defend him in a factual manner. Listen to what I'm saying, in a factual manner. So they're facts, not just, boy, you know, I love his haircut. He really eats the food I like. I don't care. I just need you to say why. And I've asked for this every single time. No one has sent it. And because I'll read it. And then the audience that comes that night can also send in things. They're basically at a point about 10 minutes before the show starts. They can send in things through their phone, and 95% of what I read comes from either the city or a surrounding area or the state that I'm performing in.
And I assume you learn a lot about these United States of America through that. Through that process,
yeah, I do. I learned that the folks out there there's a lot of really gifted writers.
Yeah,
I mean, I will get things from some some folks continue to write. They've been writing from the very beginning that I started doing this, and their writing has developed, and they've gotten better and better. Some folks, I'll get a piece, and it's like every day, every day that that I get stuff, you know, that every day something comes in that's a rant that is beautifully written. And I really kind of am amazed because you it's not something you'd expect. And it's not like they send in, you know, this will be the first time and the last time I'll get a rant from them. And a lot of what you really learn is what I like the most about it is instead of like it being, you know, what's happening to our veterans, and you get, well, you know, there's this and this and this and a bunch of, you know, numbers, you get a veteran will send me something and explain how they're getting screwed. And all of a sudden, when it's one person telling you exactly what it's doing to their life, I think it's much more powerful than a statistic.
And then you get to riff off that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I had two during the last Veterans Day that I read over that weekend, and then I just got one from a caregiver who's 30 that I will read somewhere along the line that I put aside that's also brilliantly written. But I also get things like, you know, don't you dare put a pickle on my plate. I didn't ask for the stinking pickle. And I don't need its juice next to my burger. I don't need it sullying my lettuce. I mean, you go, wow. Or the guy who was really upset. I mean, this is the stuff I love, because the rest of it, yelling about it, what I like is getting away from what the madness is, because what's occurring now is madness out there. So what I like to, somebody sent me a thing that he opened up his, what was supposed to be smooth peanut butter from Jif, and it was chunky. And this guy went on for five minutes long, screaming about, you know, why chunky is better. I mean, why smooth is better, and how chunky really is just defiles peanut butter. It was unbelievable. It was like reading an opera. You know, and that, you got to love that.
I do love
that. And that, to me, what I learned from doing this more than anything else is that you don't direct hate at people. You can be critical, you can be angry, but your hate is directed at inanimate objects, schmuck. Okay? That's what you direct it at. Your engine in your car is a piece of crap. That's what you get upset about. Okay? That's what you hate.
I remember a piece that you've done that I always loved of just you going off on candy corn.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great inanimate object to be angry at.
Oh, it's disgusting. And now there's candy corn. I was doing it for a while where it was, I had it in my act for about a year where it was when I discovered somebody handed me candy corns. There's candy corn for every season. There's 4th of July candy corn. There was, House of Pancakes candy corn. I can't even remember. It was so disgusting. I've actually
blocked it out.
I've repressed it. But I carried these bags around, and I would just yell, "Yeah, you know, candy cane, candy corn." I mean, are you serious?
One final question, and it's somewhat serious, but just because I was such a fan of this, but you're a great playwright. You had a wonderful show called One Slight Hitch that we were lucky enough to see here at Williamstown Theater Festival. What is the status of that and of you writing more plays?
Well, the status of that is it was published, and it gets done probably once every couple of months at a small theater, you know, a community theater around the country. And it's been done around the world, which is nice. I'm still trying to get it done in New York. We'll see if that ever happens. Yeah. But it's, in a sense, it's too old-fashioned for New York. I'd need to have people slaughtered in the second act. it's really reached a, you know, a lot of people, and it's done nicely. And I also at Troy, I'll be selling. I have one act that I wrote When I was also when I was a playwright, and those have finally been published, and so I have a copy of those that I sell now because nobody really. It's the only way to kind of get up. And my hopes is that somebody will pick it up and actually go, "Wow, I could do this."
Yeah.
Because none of it requires much of a set, and so I do those. And then I'm working on. I wrote a book called "I'm Dreaming of a Black Christmas," and so over the next year, I'm going to be turning that into a one-man show.
Great.
So well, that will be a, and I'll be writing that. Once I finish that play, I'm going to write. Hopefully, what my plan is, we'll see. There's a. I wanted to write a book about. Was shut the F up and calm the F down. A book, and that book, and then another play. I want to write my version of Our Town.
Oh, I bet that would be great.
Yeah. Done only with screens. It would be screens talking to each other. Seriously.
Lewis Black, the Jokes on Us tour comes to Troy, New York, Saturday night, and you can find out more by going to troymusichall.org. Lewis, it's always a pleasure. Thank you very much for spending time with us. I can't wait to see you on Saturday night.
Thanks. It'll be a lot of fun. And for those of you who were in panic about, you know, me talking about him, I do 60 minutes and then a 25-minute of the rant is due. And of the 60 minutes, it's only by minute 50 is when I start really that I talk about him. So I got a lot of other things to talk about, like my parents who are 101 and 100.
Yeah,
so,
oh, God love them.
Yep. So what? I've just seen them, and we'll be talking about them. And that's not him, so I don't want you whining.
No whining from us. Lewis, okay. Thank you very much. Good to talk to you.
Thank you.
Take care of yourself. Bye-bye.
Thanks a lot. We'll see you.
Lewis Black will be at the Troy Savings Bank Music Hall on Saturday night, and you can find out more at troymusichall.org. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.